Building Great Dreams. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with Instant Illumination, Building Great Dreams. I was reading about Thomas Jefferson, one of the founding fathers of the United States. And Thomas Jefferson was a tremendous mind, a brilliant, super brilliant genius. He had written many, many books. He read voluminously. He just enjoyed life. He enjoyed life so much that he found it always an exciting adventure. But one of the things that he enjoyed the most was the ability to become quiet within himself and play in the playground of his mind and think in the playground of his thought mind all of the wonderful things that he would like to bring forth in his world. And he called himself a philosopher, although he was a very marvelous theologian. He completely wrote the New Testament, leaving out all of the things of the miracles and putting in only the realistic things that Jesus had taught, because that was something that he believed. And he cut and pasted the Bible so that it would be exactly the way he wanted it. That Bible still exists today, not much followed, because the miracles are part of life. And Thomas Jefferson didn't realize what a great miracle man he was indeed. For everything that he thought and imagined in his mind, he brought into fruition. He thought of his lovely home before he built it. And he designed it mentally. And he thought of how he would structure the building and how he would bring it about. He thought of the great minds of the world and how these great minds of the world said that you've got to be free to think. And so into the Constitution of the United States of America, he wrote the freedom of thought, the freedom of religion. He felt these were tremendously important. And all of his cohorts thought the same thing in their own way. And yet their own lives didn't fully reflect exactly what they thought. But they did reflect what they really did think. And combined together, they took their thoughts and they created something which was the American Constitution. We live in a world in which we are constantly creating our world by our thought. We are constantly living in our quiet time. If Jefferson hadn't had his quiet time, he would have never had his fulfilled time. For in his quiet time, he thought through all of the dreams that were in his heart. And in his to-do time, in his active time, he put them into motion. Now, to do what he wanted to do in the law and in business, he had to persuade those around him that his issues had merit. But before he could persuade those around him that his issues had merit, he had to persuade himself. He had to look at his issues in his mind, in his dream, in his thought, in his visions, and look at them and say to himself, "This is fine. This is beautiful." Oh, yes, he polished them as he looked at them. And as he looked at them, he thought how other people might respond to them. And then he thought, "No, that's not really what I'm doing. I'm not thinking how other people will respond to them. I'm thinking how I respond to my own thoughts." And so intuitively and in depth, he thought about his own thoughts, and he put his own thoughts into motion. And putting his own thoughts into motion, he wrote some very marvelous philosophical books. He helped to guide a new nation into establishing a foundation for itself upon which it would base its life. And over 200 years it's been doing that. And that's just the beginning. Because the rules that they put into motion, the thoughts that they put into motion, the ideals that they brought forth, were ideals that allowed for the expansion that it never dreamed possible. For just the one thing that they brought forth into their wonderful document for the people of America, freedom of religion. Though somewhat Christian, though somewhat backed by traditional religions, they allowed for all the theological thoughts that mankind might have. They allowed for all of the possibilities in the thinking and in the dreaming. And none to the exclusion of the other, but all to the inclusion of all. So that every man would have a right to think his own thoughts and live his own life harmoniously as a group with the other, never taking away the rights of another while he exercised his own rights. And Jefferson applied that so assiduously in his own life, so powerfully in his own experiences, that everything he did was an expression of the fulfillment of what he believed about himself. Everything he did was the expression of the fulfillment of what he, in his heart, in his mind, wanted for his life. And because this is what he did, because this is what he was, because this is how he dreamed, he brought forth for a nation a foundation in teaching and beauty that was beyond belief. Now you say, well, there are many other signers of the Constitution, there are many other creators. Yes, but he was one of the major writers of it. And he, in his writing, had to get the others to agree with him, get the others to go along with him. And they taught freedom. They taught freedom of religion. They taught freedom of speech. They taught freedom of passage, freedom of activity. And some were even slave owners. But they had not yet come to the point where they realized that being slave owners was an activity that was not acceptable. And it was not a matter that they were slave owners, but they allowed other people to be possessed by them. This not only was in the world of owning people who came from Africa, but it was in the idea of having industries and businesses where people who would control the lives of others and own them. I owe my soul to the company store. These were things that were coming up. They felt that. They knew that. And so they provided in the Constitution for the release of these things. Now, naturally, all of these things did not instantly stop just because they wrote them down. And all these things didn't instantly stop just because they were noble and good and right. But the foundation for these things, just like the teachings of Jesus and Buddha and all the other great thinkers of all time, it's universal in application. It's universal in its use. In the times of Socrates and Plato, they had slaves. In the times of all other great thinkers and writers, they had people who were in bondage to them. In the early English history, the system of indenture was quite common, where people sold their children to a business and so that they would have money to live on, and their children had to work long and tedious hours for their welfare of their parents. But sometimes they had to work all their life. They never were free. Well, these are things that were unconsciously or consciously in the minds of these founding fathers. These are unconsciously or consciously in our mind. Are we indenturing ourselves to thoughts that are limiting? Are we indenturing ourselves, making ourselves slaves to a ruler who says that we are less than there? If we are doing these things, we are not dreaming like the great dreamers dreamed. We are not dreaming like the founding fathers of America dreamed, or as the great leaders of nations around the world dream. We are not realizing that this liberty for all is important, that this freedom for all But in the same light, we have to realize we start with ourselves. We start with ourselves, first freeing ourselves from all the limitation, and that's not correct. We don't free ourselves from limitation. We surround ourselves with the expansiveness of character and mind, as Jefferson had done. We allow ourselves to reach out in our consciousness to its broadness and its capacity for magic and music and beingness. We are unlimited. This is our instant illumination, to be unlimited, to reach out and be all that we are able to be. And to reach out and be all that we are able to be takes only one aspect of our being, and that's our thought. In what do we lay our thought? Wherein is our thought borning itself? Wherein is our thought manifesting and redeeming, revealing and expressing itself? Wherein? That's our choice. If your thought is on your highest and best all of the time, you can be sure your highest and best is all you'll ever know. If your thought is on the highest and best for the world, then that's all you'll know of the world, and that's all the world will know. If your thought is on the highest and best that the absolute awareness could ever bring into your beingness, then an understanding and awareness of what absolute means and what this means trickles into your consciousness, because it always was there, and you are merely allowing yourself to think about it, allowing yourself to know it, and allowing yourself to experience it. This you do today by any thought you think. This I do today by any thought I think. And I am so happy in the choice that I am making of the thoughts that I'm thinking. We went to Inkapo, which is a tower that is built on the edge of the desert. It's high up in the southern range of the Southern California mountains, overlooking the Imperial Valley. And as you go up there and you stand in this tower and you look across the vast expanse of rocks that are just scattered hither and yon across the entrance to the desert land, you think, what magical hand strew these rocks in just this manner? Little rocks on top of big ones, and why didn't they fall down? Why didn't they change? There were land tremors, there were earth tremors, there were winds, and there were storms, and yet the little rocks never changed their position. You wonder how they could do that. It's a magical thing. And you look out over this vastness and you say, what a dreamer's paradise. Because here you just see the creativity story at work. You see the imagination of the divine expressing itself in so many creative ways. And then we talked to the proprietor of the building and said to him, my, you live in a very glorious place. He said, oh, I know that. And he said, but it's boring up here. And we said, boring? He said, yes, it's boring. I have my workaday activities. I remodel this building and keep it in good shape. I entertain visitors constantly, and I pull the little joke of a little rattling thing inside of a package to make them think there's a rattlesnake in there. And I do all sorts of happy little things. I play on an ancient piano to bring a bit of tradition to the building. And I thought to myself, my friend, you are here in the midst of this magnificent experience. How much time do you take to sit and look across the expanse of this divine creation and say to yourself, I am in the middle of the divine hand at work. I am the divine hand. Whatever I see, I am. And if you would surround your creation as Jefferson has surrounded his creation, with the beauty of your heart, you will find that everyone who comes there will find it too. And if you will look upon the magic of this field of stones out here, the field of dreams, and you would see, you would think creative thoughts, you would think divine thoughts, you would think the active thoughts of a divine mind, which you are. I didn't say that to him, but I thought it. And I thought to myself, how strange it is that people sometimes working in the most glorious parts of the world, on the Swiss Alps, on the ocean shores, on the mountainsides, looking over the desert, looking at the beautiful trees, looking at a beautiful garden of flowers, that after a while they're jaded and they no longer see the beauty and the expansiveness of where they are. All they see is the tedium of maintaining it, the tedium of their everyday life. I say to me, do not let me fall into the tedium of living. Rather, I would get into the excitement every single moment of living my life so magically, so wonderfully, with such illumination, that life takes on a totally new picture. And I'm no longer a slave in bondage to bad thoughts that limit me. I am no longer bored as I look out at the surrounding countryside. How large or small it may be, it doesn't matter. I can watch a hummingbird flight at the nest, at a flower, and see the iridescence of its feathers and how beautiful it is. And I could spend an hour a day, a year, a lifetime, delighting in its beauty, never tiring of the magic that it expresses, or that I express through it. I am its creator, for without my eyes, without my awareness, it would not be for me. So everything in my world, should I want to have a happy world, requires that I have happy thoughts about it. Everything in my life requires that I look and see with the eyes of divinity. All is in divine order now. And as I look and see with those eyes, that's what I see. And it's a wonderful thing. Join with Tom Jefferson, join with me, join with the man there at Inkapaw. Join with the people living in the desert on the mountaintops, with the people who are in the Swiss Alps who are jaded as they looked out their window and see the beautiful scene that the newcomer sees so brilliantly at first. But after a while, it fades into the workaday world. Life is for you and for me, but it means we work at it every day. Not so much to work at it, but we love it unconditionally. And as we love it unconditionally, the magic of its being is continually revealed to us in newer colors, in a brighter symphony, in a more glorious picture than we could ever imagine. Thank you for letting me share with you these few thoughts today, for they are where my heart are. That's where my heart is, and that's where my thoughts are, and that's where I am, and that's where you are. Because unconditionally I love you very much, and you are very much in my every moment thought. I love you. I love you. I love you.